It's hot. Is it me or is it just me?
Right, okay.
Hallelujah, in the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. Well, I thank the Lord for this wonderful opportunity to be able to share with you, some words from the scriptures. Hopefully, will bring you some kind of a benefit. As you found out, I've got certain pet subjects that I want to cover, and yesterday was one, when I have a gathering of people, particularly when, a majority of them are new, then I like to talk about that, so that's under the bridge. Now, there is another thing that I would like to do always, okay, and for this, I would solicit your cooperation. Here are pieces of paper, would you kindly distribute and find have one each, okay? This doesn't bite, it's just a plain piece of paper, right? So, can you get one each? Can you close the Bible, close the computer, close everything? Can you help me in something? Because I do wonder what is going to happen. Oh, if you need a pen, just tell me, okay? Anyone want a pen? Yes, please. Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else want a pen? Anyone else want a pen? No? Good, lovely. Now, what I want to ask... Oh, forget about the piece of paper. Just put it in front of you first. I want to stop playing with that. Come on. Pass that along. We have a piece of paper each, right? Now, what I'm going to talk about is religious education. So the first question really is, how many of you are not RE teachers or had not been RE teachers before? One? It's all right. Just one, huh? Okay. So, Rupert, sorry, you're the organ out. I'm so sorry. Just look for that. It really doesn't matter. We just want to find out what's going on. That's all. Okay, so all of you are either current RE teachers or you were. Not that you're that. You guys are not that old, so how can you were? Surely you must still be teaching if you're an RE teacher. Right, okay. How many of you, second question is, how many of you have ever tried to talk to someone else about the belief of our church? Doesn't matter if it is one. Hold on a minute. I'm not talking about number, okay? I'm not talking about whether you consider the outcome as successful or not. I don't care. Because, we're all different. But I just want to find out how many person here have ever plucked up the courage and talked to a non-TJC individual something about our faith, okay? Now, it's more than just saying, can you come to church this Sabbath? It's more than that, okay? I'm talking about Alright, so you have to introduce somehow, some kind of, basic beliefs or, depends on who you're talking to, something about God or whatever, right? You get my gist, okay? It's not just simply, okay, you want to come to church or, or we are going to have spiritual convocations next week, why don't you come and join us or whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something slightly more substantial. Okay, so if you have done that before, can I see a show of hands, please? Hopefully. Okay, I assume that you have done that. Out of the kindness of my heart. Right? I don't want her to be the odd one out. Should we put her in our midst? Yeah? She's one of us now. Right. Well done. Okay, so on your piece of paper, can you do this for me? Okay? We've got 10 basic articles of faith. Can you, within the next 60 seconds, tell me what they are in order? In order. Okay, we've got, right? Wait. Order. 10 basic articles of faith. Put it in order, and I will give you 1 minute to do it now. 5. Oi! Oi! 10. That's a quarter of a minute gone. Okay, I'll stop counting, but just keep going. I will remind you when there is only 15 seconds left. In order, so you number it 1 to 10. And you plug in the 10 basic beliefs, just the heading of it, okay? I don't need it word for word, just the heading of it. So basically, I'm looking for 10 headings in order. That's 35 seconds gone. Anyone finish? Oh, Angela has done it. Good, well done. Whether it's right or wrong, we'll find out. But at least someone has done it. 45. 50.
Okay, I put it down, put it down, put it down, put it down, put it down now. Time's up, calm down, it's only 30 seconds. I've given you 1 minute. Okay. Would you please kindly, would you please kindly swap your piece of paper with the one two up the way? Okay, so swap it both with the one next to you, but just two, anyway, doesn't matter. Just give it to someone else, okay? At least two person away from you. At least two person away. It doesn't matter, I don't care about your name. Okay? Okay, Nemo. You got it? Come on, oi! Can I have a bit of order, okay? This is not a kindergarten class, can I have a bit of order? Oi! Okay, let's do this together. Number one. Hey, mark it for me, huh? So it's out of 10. It's out of 10, huh? I want a number at the end. Yes? It has to be in order. If it is not in order, it doesn't count. Don't argue. Children, you're worse than... You're worse than kids. All right, okay. Okay. Hey, if you want to survive this, can you sort of... pay attention. Number one. Oh, first hurdle. One true God. Second one. Shh. Sorry?
Whole Bible.
Whole Bible. Old Testament.
Okay, Bible.
Third one. Sorry? True church. Yes.
No. Just. I just want a number at the end of the day. Okay. So just put a tick across it. Do whatever you want. I don't care. Okay. I don't care. True church. Four. Oi.
Water baptism.
Number five. Oh, sorry. Let me number it first. One, two, three, four, five.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Number six.
Food washing.
Obviously, someone knows their marbles. Seven.
Holy.
You see my handwriting deteriorating already. Number eight.
Sabbath.
Number nine.
Salvation.
How come that only one person keep on answering? Number ten. Oh, wow, well done. Okay, end time, second coming. Okay, can you tally it up and put a number on the piece of paper? Just put the number down. Just put the number down. Put the number down. Quite quickly. Put the number down, okay? Have you got it? Do you want to borrow my fingers? Do you want to borrow my finger? No. Keep it. I don't want to know who scored what, okay? But I will just get a random sample and try to give an average. All right? Okay. So, what number?
Hold a minute.
Excuse my arithmetic, okay? One. Okay.
Two.
Okay, so that's three then. Okay, Selena.
Eight.
That's 11. Tara.
Nine.
20. We're getting better and better. Emily. Don't ask others. It's your piece of paper. Sorry?
Six.
Sorry?
Three.
23. Okay, Ricky.
Five.
28. Yvonne.
Five. 33.
No. Jason.
Three. 36.
Anthony.
Seven.
43.
8.
51.
1.
52.
One.
No. Annie, your piece of paper.
I don't have a piece of paper.
Why don't you have a piece of paper?
I don't know.
What happened? Okay, Mason. You want to do it again?
Michael, did you say the order doesn't matter?
The order does matter.
Oh,
Calm down, people. Sorry, what sorry. How many?
One.
Yeah, Michael,
that's why I asked you. Does it have to be in order?
Yes, I say it has to be in order.
Because you said it doesn't matter.
It does. So, okay, never mind. So the average, unfortunately, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yep. 53 divided by 12 is equal to 4.5. Okay. Let me tell you one thing. By tomorrow afternoon, you will be able, mark my word, you will be able to do it, and I want an average of at least double that, and to be done within 15 seconds. It can be, it has been proved that it can be done. 15 seconds, and I want an average score of at least 9. Sorry? Can you have a what? It doesn't matter. Sure. Now. Okay. People. No, it's okay. Just keep it. I want that sheet of that is to be used for something else, okay? But I just keep it at the moment, all right? Now, I want to just spend the next 10 or 15 minutes to tell you about this so that you'll be able to do it in 15 seconds by the end of tomorrow in order and get an average score of more than 9. Now, please do not disappoint yours truly. Do not deliberately make a mess of it just to annoy me. Okay? Right. Okay. How can we remember the 10 articles of faith? It has to be in order, partly because if you don't do it in order, you're liable to miss things out. You started with this. You started with A, D, H, J, and then you go to R, S. Have I mentioned A? Was it B? You know? If you remember in order, then you can guarantee that you would not miss anything. And you'll be able to do it sequentially and explain things in a logical manner. What do you mean by that? Pay attention, people. Okay? Now, I know some of you guys have done it with me, or I've done it with you guys. That's why, you know, see all the high school people. But, okay, never mind. Right. Now, one. Can you tell me? Who do you believe in? Exactly. The first and foremost thing about basic beliefs is we have got to distinguish ourselves from other religion. We don't believe in Buddha. We don't believe in Allah. Seriously? Allah, yes. We don't believe in anything else, but we believe in the one true God who is called Jesus. So this is the first and foremost thing. Because if you don't get that, everything else will just collapse. You understand what I'm saying? So the first thing that you need to remember is one true God. Okay? So this is the first thing. It has to be the fundamental of our beliefs. If you don't believe in this one true God who is called Jesus, then everything else is meaningless. Right? Now, what's the basis of your belief? If you believe in this one true God who is called Jesus, what is the basis of your belief? Where do you get all the info from? The book of Quran? No? What do you have? You get it from the Bible. Okay? We believe in one true God, and the information that we, you know, that forms the basis of our belief should be the Bible and nothing else. Right? Whether it is, well, so it is a combination of the New and Old Testament, it is a guideline to a spiritual lifestyle, a Christian lifestyle, etc. You know, you can swap that out later on, but at least you should know that the Bible forms the basic, the basis of our belief. Now, people will say to you, there are many people who believe in God or Jesus, many Christians, and we are all using, more or less, translation or versions notwithstanding, we're using the same Bible. So what separate or what differentiate between them and us? Huh? Church. Yeah? Right? There are so many people who believe in Jesus. At least half the population claims to be Christians. All right? we are all using more or less the same Bible, bar or minor, you know, a few minor sects, okay? We're all using the Bible. So what makes us stand out? What makes us different? Basically, is the church, right? Now, whether you want to say it's because of denominations or whether, you know, we're the one true church or whatever, you know, it's up to you. But the next thing on the list would therefore be church. It is church that separates us from other so-called Christians. Okay? So far? All right? Got it? Good. Number four. Number four is what? Why? Yeah, you need to get baptized, so you need to get the many things done as well, you know? Sorry? To get into the church. Mister, you need to swap up your basic doctrines because you do not get into church through baptism. Okay? That's not what baptism is for. Baptism is not for getting into church. It's not an admission of membership. It's not a certificate of authenticity. Okay, what is number four? Well, basically, so far, these are very generic. But now we are talking about something that is specific to Christianity. What are we talking about? First and foremost, if you are a real Christian, Jesus said you need to be born again. Yeah? John chapter 3, you need to be born again. In order to be born again, Jesus told Nicodemus, you have to be born of and right, okay? Because this is the fundamental of Christianity, of Christian beliefs. You need to be born again, okay? And if you go to Africa, a lot of people will tell you that, oh, I have been saved, or I have, you know, I'm born again. Or if you go to rob people, this is a very common, you know, phrase that got talked about. But what do you mean exactly by born again? Jesus said it is through water baptism, number four, and through the receiving of the Holy Spirit, which is number five. Got it? Now, but it is not enough just to get yourself baptized or receive the Holy Spirit. Why is that the case? Because after water baptism, immediately, what will happen? English, please. Foot washing. Alright? Foot washing would follow because this is immediately after water baptism. Alright? Now, water baptism, you can only done once. Foot washing, it is at least once. Right? Or to be done you know, as often as necessary, but at least once. That is foot washing. But what will happen immediately after foot washing? Can you remember? Holy Communion. Holy Communion. Now, if you want to look at it that way, okay, water baptism, you only do it once, right? Holy Spirit, hopefully, you only need to receive it once, and you, it will stay with you.
You got message.
Yes, I know. Okay. Water baptism, you do it once. Holy Spirit, hopefully, you only need to receive it once, okay? Foot washing, it will be once at least, because if necessary, it can be, you know, for mutual foot washing, it can be done again. Okay, but we're talking about the sacramental one, we're talking about relating to salvation. For Holy Communion, what happens? As often as necessary, okay? So it is nth time, okay? And then the next one is, are you finished? Water baptism, foot washing, and Holy Communion. Are you finished? What happens every week? Sabbath, isn't it? Okay? Because we're talking about things, first of all, we start with things that need to be done once, or, you know, at least once, and then we increase the frequency, if you want to look at it that way, okay? We lump everything that needs to be done immediately, water baptism, foot washing, and Holy Communion, but then every week, you are supposed to keep Sabbath, right? So that's 152 of, you know, your year, your life, whatever. I don't know. Right, okay. But that is not enough. Because even if you keep the Sabbath, you come to church, you walk out of church, that's your Christian duty. Is that the case? No, because what happens? We always say salvation, but what exactly is under salvation?
Bearing fruits, sanctification.
We talk about faith, we talk about grace, but we also talk about our daily life, isn't it? You see, water baptism, all these things are, you know, within a certain space and time. However, real Christian life is more concerned with 24/7 type of idea. Okay? You need to have faith, you need to receive the grace of God. However, okay, salvation is a combination of faith, our faith and the grace of God, but it also means that every day we have got to rely on the Holy Spirit to bear fruit. All right? And last but not least, everyone will know that eventually, then we'll be waiting for the end time, the second coming of Jesus. Right? That's how I would remember it. If you have a logical, I wouldn't say it's logical, but if you have some kind of an idea, if you keep on telling you the story, you know, of this, then you should be able to do it. Yeah? So, this is what we are going to do. Right. Do you have that sheet of paper in front of you? Can you turn it around to the blank page? And let's start over again, and this time I'll give you 30 seconds. Starting from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, now! Oh, and here goes, someone wants to give you a piece of paper. Okay, that's five seconds gone. 10. 10, 15. 20, 25, 4, 3, 2, 1, stop writing. Now, pass your piece of paper somewhere along the line. Let's do this again. Come on, just mix it up. It doesn't matter whose paper it is. Just mix it up. Okay. Now, I'm not going to write it on the board. All right, let's do this together. Ready? One, two, go. Number one,
Bible.
Trust God. Number two,
Bible.
Number three, True Church. Number four, Baptism. Number five, Holy Spirit. Number six, foot washing. Number seven, Holy Communion. Number eight,
Sabbath.
Number nine, salvation. And number ten, okay, give me a number. Now this time it will be someone else, you know, so we do it the other way around. Ten. See what you guys have done? By tomorrow, when we finish, all right? I want you guys to do it within 15 seconds and give me at least a 9. All right? It can be done. You see, we have already drastically improved the result, haven't we? It can be done. Right. Okay. Now, let's come back and talk about religious education.
Now we found that, unfortunately, I'm sorry, sir, but except Rupert, okay, you guys are RE teachers. So, can you guys tell me, what are the three established goals or aims of religious education? If you're an RE teacher, you should know this. And I emphasize the word should. Yes, it is in the manual. There are three reasons or three aims or three goals for religious education. Three. Alright? Now, not in any particular order. This is only three, come on.
Only three. Any particular, not in any. Okay, we'll do it in order. It's better that way. We start right and we will end right. Because once we get random things, you know, it's very difficult to jumble it. Alright, okay, anyway. We've got three. One, two, three. That's the three major goals or reasons why we need religious education. Can someone just give me some kind of an answer?
Passing the faith.
Passing the faith. Okay, maybe I should draw a line here and start writing here. Passing the faith.
Next.
No. Okay. Teaching Bible and the word is stories. Joe? Integrating them in the church. Who do you think we are, social services? Integrate into church.
Train them up in the word of God.
Train in word.
What?
Cultivate what? Cultivate their faith.
To be the pillars of the church.
Prepare them to be pillars.
Build deep relationship with God.
Deep relationship with God. Hold a minute, I haven't finished yet. Relationship is a long word, mind you. Yes, go on. Who said that? Pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Holy Spirit. I'm running out of space. Preach the gospel. Okay, let's stop there. Otherwise, you know. Okay, now, that's fair enough. But we need to systematically, like anything else, okay, categorize it and sort of make it into some nice, you know, legible and logical sort of points, bullet points, whatever you like to call it. Right. You guys claim to be RE teachers, but you haven't got a clue what you're doing. Out. That's painful. That is really painful. Because supposedly, before you even become an RE teacher, you should have gone through RE seminars. And this would be one of the first things that you guys have gone through. But I understand, because it was so long ago, that's why you have forgotten about it. Yeah? Because you are so experienced in it, you just throw everything out and just, you know, based on your own experience and do it. No. We need to come to that, okay? Now, first and foremost, okay? I need to find a better... Okay, the first aim of religious education, if you are an RE teacher, I'm talking about it, is first of all to impart what? Spiritual knowledge. Right? Now that's the first thing, to impart spiritual knowledge. It's not worldly knowledge. We're not talking English grammar. We're not talking about physics or whatever. We're talking about spiritual knowledge. That's the first thing we do. Why do we do it? Why do we do it? Why do we impart spiritual knowledge? No. Why do we do it?
So our next generation would know God.
That's good. What else? Sorry? I know they need feeding. What would be the implication of imparting spiritual knowledge? What do you want to get out of it after you have that imparted spiritual knowledge?
So they can be saved.
So they can be saved. Yeah, that's true.
So they can save others.
So they can save others. Yes, that's equally true. What else? They can help. Yes. Okay, so that they will be firm in their faith. Right? Because faith, if you have a firm faith, it is based first and foremost on the knowledge. Alright? So that's why, maybe, hopefully, that in terms of religious education, that you, as we know it just now, okay, your first aim is to impart spiritual knowledge. The purpose of it is not to pass some kind of an IQ test, or your end of year exam, or just to show off in a quiz or whatever. The idea is to make sure that through the spiritual knowledge, they would have a very firm faith. Right? So that's the first thing. What's the second thing that you need to do? After you have... Well, the first thing you do is give them spiritual knowledge. And over time, what do you need to start considering? Secondly. Sorry? Life application. You're getting there. Warm. Not too warm, but it's warm. Anyone else?
Is it that? Or is it something else? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyone else, ladies? You have been RE teachers for I don't know how many years. No idea?
Guidance.
Sorry? Guidance as to what? To walk. So basically, the kids can't walk, so you must be doing baby cars. It's to guide them, it's right, into good what?
Behavior,
right, okay? Knowledge is one thing, but the next thing that comes out of the knowledge must be what? Action, isn't it? An action that you the action that you desired out of spiritual knowledge, if they have some kind of faith, then hopefully they would have some kind of a good, well, whatever good means, all right? Good behavior. Why is that necessary? Why is that necessary? If we impart spiritual knowledge so that they have a firm faith, a firm foundation of faith, next thing is we hope to guide them into good behavior. Why is that necessary? Yeah, I know that faith works. Right? It's because we are talking about a Christian lifestyle. Right? Okay? This good behavior is not just occasional. This good behavior is not just selective, but you are talking about a whole lifestyle. The whole life, you know, how you behave normally, generally, 24/7. Doesn't matter whether you're in church, in school, at home, at play, or whatever, okay? It is a lifestyle. It is a Christian lifestyle, which comprises of good behavior, and it is formed from the fact that they have been given or taught spiritual knowledge, and they have a firm foundation of their faith. You got it? So what would number 3 be? What would number 3 be? Seriously, we've got 24 people sitting here. Bar one, you are all RE teachers, and you have no idea what you're working towards.
So they can be saved.
Yes, good, yeah, but that's not quite what I'm looking for here. So that they can also be RE teachers. Okay, so goal number 3 is so that, you know. Okay, repeat and rinse and repeat, basically, all right? No, no.
Is it to do with church
work? You're getting warmer. Getting warmer?
No, God.
No, yeah, hopefully. Number 1 will help them to know more about God. Church work. Go on, develop that. Preach, work, good vessels, pillars.
Equipping for works of service.
Sorry? Equipping for?
Works of service.
Works.
Or service.
Yes. Basically, the thirdly is to pray for the power from the Holy Spirit, so that I'll give you the answer. I'm wasting time, honestly. Power from the Holy Spirit, so that they can serve in the capital K kingdom. All right, okay. So basically, right, like Preacher Cole says, this is the conclusion. Your duty, your work as an RE teacher, should be, or can be, categorized in these 3 points, right? First and foremost, this is what hopefully you guys are doing. That's why you have class. That's why you teach lessons. Fundamentally, first and foremost, you are trying to give them some kind of a knowledge, hopefully spiritual or biblical. And the purpose of it is to build up their faith, right? This is what hopefully all the RE teachers understand and are doing currently. However, if we go to the second point, then I would be very hesitant to say that all of RE teachers are working towards that. Why? Because sometimes we just teach the lesson and just walk out of the door. We don't care less. We just fulfill our duty. We say our duty as a teacher, we teach them in the most traditional sense, that is, telling them something, and that would be it. But you must
you must bear in mind that the basis of the spiritual knowledge, a basis of firm faith, is to lead to good behavior, not just in church, but it is a Christian thing, a Christian lifestyle thing. All right? This is what you must aim towards at a second level. Right? Now, if you can do that, if you remember that, then that is not enough. Because being a good Christian, whatever definition you use, is not enough. That is not the only thing that is required from the Bible. Religious education is not just to produce good Christians. You know, don't think about it like a school where we just produce good citizens. That's not the idea. But the schools nowadays don't even produce good citizens, because the school nowadays just produce someone who can pass exams. Right? But we're not producing just good citizens or good Christians. We must help them to equip themselves with power from above, from the Holy Spirit, so that ultimately, the ultimate aim is not just be another RE teacher, although you are right. Right? It's not just to become another RE teacher, but more importantly, to, by relying on the power from the Holy Spirit, to serve in the kingdom of God in whatever capacity that they may. Right? Okay? So, even if you get nothing out of my lectures thereafter, please, when you go home and continue your work as RE teachers within your local church, please never forget about these three goals. It's not just about teaching. It's much more than that. Ultimately, you want to complete 1, 2, and 3. Have you got it? Any questions so far? Any questions? Now, to help you to remember, because I like to help people to remember things, you would have noticed. I like to help people to know things, right? So, let me just rub this off. I'm sorry. Thank you for your contribution. This is generally known as the 3C principles. Right? If you cannot remember it, maybe I should reduce it to just 3 words. That should help you remember. If you can't even remember 3 words, then don't. I'm not going to say anything nasty. Am I? Well, I'm a nasty person, but never mind. Right, what are the 3C principles that correspond with that? Basically, the first C for that, number one, is conviction. Yeah? We must make sure that they have a strong, or the students, must have a strong conviction in terms of their faith or the Word of God. Right? So this is the first C. I don't need to explain that, right? First C is conviction. Conviction is not enough. What's number two? Conduct. Christian. Yes, yeah, they're all C's. That's very good. Not exactly what I'm looking for. What else?
Character.
All right? So, ultimately, you're looking for character, a Christian character. Well, if you want conduct, that's fair enough. You know, please, make it up along, as I said, make it up along the way, okay? It really doesn't matter. If it helps you to remember, it really doesn't matter. Just find some way of remembering. Because if you don't remember, if you don't know it, then it's very difficult to implement it in life, okay? So, if you say conduct or whatever, then that's fair enough. I don't mind. Thirdly, what would be the third C? Sorry? Counselor.
Nope.
No. This is actually the most difficult one, in my experience.
Church work.
Church work. No, I'm looking for one word. It's actually a very difficult one. Sorry? Yeah, okay, fair enough. Look, remember, okay, these are not cast in stone. This is not gospel truth. This will not lead you to salvation if you remember these three things. Okay, so don't, yes, take it seriously, but, you know, try not to argue too much about it. It really doesn't matter. Whatever, you know, take your box, that's fine. It really doesn't matter. But they must be competent in the sense that, you know, in a normal sense, this is helping you to remember, okay? In a normal sense, whether they're in school or in job or whatever, okay? They have got to be competent, basically, you know? They must be able to do the work. It's not just knowledge. It's not just a character. Because if someone employs an employee, they must be competent. They must be capable. Or you can use capability, whatever. Okay, they must be able to do the work that they were employed for. And ultimately, God looks for people down the factory line, let's say, of RE. At the end of the day, what do we churn out? We churn out competent Christians. Why? Because they have received the power from the Holy Spirit and they are very competent. They are very capable of serving in the kingdom of God. Okay? As I said, it really doesn't matter how you want to remember it. This will not lead you to heaven. Okay? But hopefully this will help you to sort of help in that. Now, when we talk about religious education, can you give me a definition of religious education? In your mind, what do you mean by religious education? Now that I've gone through the three aims and goals, what do you mean by religious education? Yep, okay, that's fair enough. Good. What else? Okay, let's put it this way. If the answer that I'm looking for really is different, okay? Who are your target audience? Children. Just children? Adults who teach adult class. I think I would concentrate on the senior youth. Anyone else? What class are you teaching? You might be teaching a children class. You might be teaching a youth class. Anyone else teaches different classes?
Adult English.
English class.
Adult English.
Right, okay, adult. Anyone else? Evergreen. So basically there will be, I need to be very polite, elderly. Pension? No, sorry. Let's not go there. Okay. Right. You could be teaching children class, youth class, adult class, or elderly class. Yeah? Okay. Most times for you guys, I'm going to stick my neck out and says that most of you, if not all of you, will be teaching children or youth class. Am I right? Very few, rarely, we have teachers who are dealing with adult or elderly classes, although it does exist in certain churches. Okay. Now, this is what RE is not. It's not. Get it out of your mind now. That religious education is about teaching children, youth, adult, or elderly persons. Get it out of your mind now. The way to do it is very simple. Close your eyes. Close your eyes now. Imagine religious education. Break the bond between religious education and all the kids running around, or the youths who are rebelling, saying no to whatever you tell them. Break that bond now. And when I snap my finger, you open your eyes and that bond is broken. Okay, done. Thank you. Right, got it? Religious education is not about teaching children or youths or any particular age group. The idea that I am saying here is, okay, get age group out of the way. Although traditionally, okay, conventionally, we associate religious education. If you go to other denominations, we'll be talking about Sunday class or Sunday school, whatever you like to call it. Okay? And we call it religious education purely because, you know, we don't do it on a Sunday, or sometimes we don't do it on a Sunday or whatever. But in our mind, we always associate it with some kind of, you know, an age group thing. Alright? I want you to put that out of your mind. Why? Because true religious education, to be honest, it's not about age group. True religious education is a lifelong process. It is something that people would need to go through, including you and me and everyone who believes in Jesus, no matter who they are. It is a lifelong process which we all have to undergo. All right? Because by the simple definition of religious education, you should understand that it is not, we're not talking about children's class. We're not talking about children education or whatever. We're talking about teaching religion, educating, okay? These things, if you know your Bible, you'll realize that it is a lifelong process. It is not. Many people, they think of religious education like this, and that's why they say that the line can be drawn here. For example, when they reach senior youth class, or when they graduate senior youth class, or the equivalent of, you know, whatever it might be in your local church, then they get out of the RE system, and now they are under, I don't know, a fellowship. Or they are, you know, to be merged into the general congregation, or whatever. As if, you know, religious education stopped. You can draw a line somewhere and says you are now finished, or you have now finished that, and now, you know, you have turned a new leaf and you're doing something else. But I put it to you, and I challenge you to think about it, not like it. I'm not saying that what you guys are doing is wrong, okay? Let me say this very clearly for the sake of the recording, that I'm not against these type of ideas. This has to be continued. That has to be done because that is the way that we do things. But in your mind, what I'm trying to introduce to you is the fact that we must not be constrained by all these, you know, ideas, but rather you must see true religious education as a whole person, or in other words, it's what we call holistic, you know, a complete person's, education in terms of their religion. And in this case here will be how to achieve that, the three goals that we put out for the rest of our life until we pass away or until Jesus comes again. Because if you think about the three cases there, right? We are not just talking about whether the children or the youth ultimately will serve in the kingdom of God. We're trying to make sure that all Christians will be able to do that. You see, the three goals or the three aims that I mentioned here, all right, the three C words, is applicable to every Christian. That has to be like that. It has to be like that. You cannot just say, oh, I had that enough, or I have already reached a certain stage, and therefore I am now getting out of the system. There is no system per se, because once you believe in Jesus, once you are here, then it continues forever until we pass away or until Jesus comes again. You get that? Right? So on that note, I would sort of give my throat a 15-minute rest. And any questions so far? Do you get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? All right? Now, when we come back, and we shall look into the Bible, I'd like to share with you a few verses, quite a few verses, to look into, you know, in terms of doing this type of religious education that we are talking about. I'm not going to talk about how to teach children in class. I'm not going to talk about teaching methodology. I'm not going to talk about classroom management. I'm not going to talk about child psychology. I'm not going to talk about counseling of youth or whatever. Although, if you want, I can. But I'm not. So you better not want it. Right? Okay, I'm going to talk about something else. Because I want to get the whole idea that is religious education as a much bigger thing that we need to aim for. And that is something that we should all get involved in. Not just for the people sitting here. I will let you have the conclusion right now before we break. And that is all members, doesn't matter who you are, all members must get themselves involved in RE work. We are all inside this year. We are all receiving religious education. And we must also get involved in religious education, the work of religious education. That is my ultimate conclusion. Okay, so let's take a break and let's bow ahead and pray in silence. Amen.
Thank you. 15.
Ahem.